Now we're about to enter those three. We're about to enter the section of our session this morning, focusing on those three programmatic interventions that Dr. Ashton introduced. And as each of these next panelists speak, they will take questions during their presentation, toward the end of their presentation, and then we'll take questions again at the end if we have a few minutes at the end of our full after each of the panelists has spoken. So now I'd like to introduce our next panelist. Sharon Schindler-Rising is a certified nurse midwife who graduated from the Yale School of Nursing, taught on the faculty there, and then established the Graduate Nurse Midwifery Program and the Childbearing Child Rearing Center at the University of Minnesota. In 1993 and 94, she developed and piloted Centering Pregnancy, a model of group health care, in Connecticut, and began conducting instructional workshops nationally and internationally. She's the executive director of the Centering Healthcare Institute, a nonprofit organization dedicated to changing the paradigm of health services in order to improve the overall health outcomes of mothers, babies, new families, and all individuals across the life cycle. She also is on the clinical nursing faculty at Yale School of Nursing and an adjunct professor at the University of Technology in Sydney, Australia. She was awarded the Purpose Prize by Civic Ventures in December 2008 and has co-authored and authored numerous papers on group health care. Please join me in welcoming Sharon Schindler-Rising.
Good morning. So this is an opportunity for me to talk about, as you can imagine, something I'm quite passionate about. So centering pregnancy, first of all, I have no disclosures. And I thought it's just helpful for us to just ground ourselves this morning on what we're really talking about. We're talking about moms who look really happy and engaged and babies that are really healthy, even though they are doing what babies do. In this picture. So thinking about prenatal care today, well, first of all, it's expensive, and the outcomes are really disappointing. It's confusing and inefficient to patients. Have you ever seen women wandering around trying to figure out where to go and who to go to and multiple appointments? And, oh, it's hard. And it's very repetitive and frustrating for providers, which is really what was one of the main drivers for me, is that I felt that I was spending my day, as I was doing a lot of prenatal care, saying the same thing over and over again. And if you are providers here in the room, you will know what I'm talking about. One woman's question is another woman's question. So why would we think about a whole different way to provide care? Let's look at why group care. Well, first of all, it's evidence-based. We have better outcomes. And that's what we're all about, is getting better outcomes from our efforts with prenatal care. They're predictable schedules. So at the beginning of a pregnancy, we can say to a mother, all right, these are your 10 appointments for the rest of your pregnancy. Group starts and ends on time. It starts at 9 and it ends at 11, and you'll be out. And you can plan your life. You can plan your work life and your childcare life. So predictable schedules, that's also really helpful for the agency. It provides an opportunity for us to have increased understanding of cultural beliefs and values. That, I think, to me was one of the most beneficial pieces of doing group care, was I could sit there and listen to women talk from their own cultural beliefs and values and realize that a lot of the strategies that I had been suggesting really probably weren't all that appropriate, but I didn't know. And if you've had the opportunity of having a woman come to another visit and have the same problem and you think, gee, we talked about that the last time she was here. Well, it probably was that we just didn't understand what the cultural beliefs and values that really were driving her behavior. So sitting and listening is just wonderful. It's a great marketing program. So I don't know if you're in an agency that needs to grow, and most of us are sort of wondering how we're going to handle everyone that we have, but it's really a wonderful thing to talk about in the community. There's nothing like talking about something that works well for mothers and babies, right? Everybody sort of resonates to that. It provides better access for patients. So it's a way of getting a large number of women into the system very quickly. So access is important. It's an opportunity to build relationships, and this is what really builds community, is the relationships that we have with each other. And so here is an opportunity to really, really capitalize on the time that we have as providers with our patients. And then, well, it's also fun. And there is, I think work should be fun. We should enjoy going to work, look forward to it. And the system has, I think, become more and more unfriendly as we have pressures to be more and more productive. So all of those are drivers. And so here's an opportunity for women to make connections in a really safe place. So I think about the group space as being sort of having a feeling of a nest that you want to come to. It feels safe. It's a place where you can be comfortable, and you can share with each other. At Meharry, I understand that there's a sign over the door, entering centering space, and that the employees, staff, come up during their breaks just to relax in a safe space. So, and this is the opportunity for women also to say, well, I wasn't the only one that had the same problem. And you know, just personally, I'm guessing, that at times you have taken a risk in sharing something and you find out that other people are having the same issue. And that's really supportive. So I'd like you to imagine care, first of all, that meets or beats productivity. So think about having 10 to 12 women, all of similar gestation, who come together for their entire prenatal care, starting in the early second trimester. Having better attendance, because again, you know when your appointments are, women start making connections with other women and they want to see those women, so they want to come. And this also opens exam rooms for other paying procedures. So if the agency is crunched for space, this is really a help, although you need to have appropriate group space, I might add. It's an efficient model that doesn't have any waiting. So there is no overcrowding in the waiting room because women go directly to the group space. And for us as providers, we're not sitting waiting for rooms to open up, for the chart to be available. Everything is right there. And it becomes a very efficient model. It actively involves patients in their care. And another thing that we're really wanting is activated patients. We don't want we want to get away from the time when women were, the provider was saying to a woman, don't worry about that, I'll take care of you, because we know that doesn't work, that we have to take care of ourselves. And so having active involvement in care is extremely important. And there's continuity. So the same provider and co-facilitator follow a woman through her entire pregnancy. And when women are asked, would you rather know everybody who might be with you for delivery, or would you rather have continuity during your prenatal period, they always say they prefer the continuity during their prenatal period. And this is care that's reimbursable. It's in the standard reimbursement system, so you bill the way you would bill for regular prenatal care, and the outcomes are better. So the centering pregnancy model has three components to it. It has health assessment, and education and support or community building. These are three components that I think should be part of any kind of care that we get. So let's look just a little more closely at what that might mean. So with the health assessment, happens right within the group space. And if you haven't sort of imagined how this could be, it might be hard to think, well, how could this possibly be private? But I want you to think about a space that feels really safe that you come to, where there's music playing, there's a little food in the corner of the room, women are talking to each other, they're actively involved in checking their own blood pressure, doing their own weight, getting that data in the chart, or putting it down in their progress record, so there's a lot of activity. And as they get to know each other, that volume of conversation in the room goes up. And part of what I would always think about in terms of the success of a group was how noisy the room was during this check-in time, because you want women to be talking with each other. So, and remember that care is reimbursed in the usual way. So all of this health assessment is happening, and there's this 3-minute individual assessment with the provider off in the corner of the room somewhere, down low, amazingly private. You just have to trust me on that one. And then there's time to circle up or have time to talk with each other. This is never called class. This is group. This is not a didactic exercise for a leader to be presenting information. This is a time to talk about what women in the group want to talk about. There are some guidelines in the Mom's Notebook that help to set the stage, but if the women are wanting to talk about somebody who was shot on their corner and how they don't feel safe in their neighborhood, it's not going to really work to try to talk about what they're going to use for birth control. So there's session plans and self-assessment sheets that help to guide the discussion, and time for the exploration of the cultural beliefs and values, what really is driving this woman in her own family situation. And it's an efficient way to share information. So only have to say things once. So how nice is that? And then the other area is support or community building. So the stability of the group then provides a community of support for the women in the group. Often they say it was just another group of friends. I think it's hard to develop groups of friends. These days we've gotten more fearful and our communities are more isolated. We have lots of new immigrants. So it's important to be able to form a network of friends. Talking about social determinants, here is the support for behavior change that women really need. And it's fun and interactive. It helps women to move towards their goals, and goal setting is a really important part of the centering model. 96% to 97% of women across the country polled about centering prefer getting their care this way. As one provider said, satisfaction was effusively positive. Women treasure what they learn, the nurturing they receive, the friends they make, and the confidence they gain. And as one provider called me up one day and said, I want to just say, this is the one thing in my week that brings me joy. So our first randomized trial was published in 2007. The primary investigator, Jeanette Ikvicks, who's in the School of Public Health at Yale. And what we found here, we had over 1,000 women, 1,047 women in the trial. They were from public clinics in New Haven and Atlanta, and 80% of the sample was African American. And we found that for the total sample, there was a 33% reduction in preterm birth, and for the African American women, there was a 41% reduction in preterm birth. So as one medical director said to me, that means that for every 1.5 to 2 groups we have, we will save at least one preterm birth, and that's huge. Other outcomes, that the attendance is better, there's better knowledge for labor and delivery, for baby care, and women really love the model. There's very, very high satisfaction of women with this model, and at least we think it's cost neutral. Well, women were also asked, what did you like best? And this is the time when we as providers sort of scratch our head and say, okay, this is part of the shift we need to make. Because as you see here, they're on the provider end, well, you know, okay, but not so great. But what do women in group really love? They love the interpersonal piece of the group. This is the relationship building, the community building piece that women really love. And it isn't that providers aren't important, but the group really takes that piece of importance. And we were very happy to see this. And of course, they like getting the information they had and, you know, everything. So better outcomes lead to big savings. So we've talked about the reduction in preterm birth. There's also increased breastfeeding, and we are working hard on the business case for breastfeeding these days, right? And we know there's a lot of money saved when just from women's health and baby's health when they are breastfed. There's a reduction in sexually transmitted infections. This is another big area of savings for us. And women don't get pregnant quite as rapidly when they're in centering. We have centering parenting now that continues the group through the first year of life and beyond. So this is well woman, well baby care. So a continued emphasis for women on some of the important health measures that are often not addressed at all by our system during that first postpartum year. So a value estimate for what is saved per woman in centering is about $1,786 that is saved per woman based on the better outcomes. So we talk about centering as building communities one group at a time. And don't they look just happy to be together? This is a group that's meeting in Boston, and it's really, as one woman said here, I'm friends now with two of my group mates. I learned other women's culture and their experience. And we sort of imagine how this eventually will help to really change our communities as we understand other women's cultures more and more. And another comment, one day a woman called me from actually she was in Seattle, and she said, I have to tell you about the experience that we have just had in our centering, in our centering group. There were eight of us, eight couples, and four of our babies have delivered, and four of our babies are still waiting, including mine. And so we're anxiously awaiting the outcome. And she said, you know, we think of each one of these babies as being our babies. And I've thought about that a lot as to what that says about the strength of that community and about why maybe you wouldn't want to be an outlier. Because I do think there's a direct connection, mind-body connection, between delivery, when this baby gets delivered, and that some women just maybe don't ever attach really well to the baby, some of the things that Diane was mentioning, and that when you get to be about 36 or 37 weeks or 35 weeks, you think it would be just fine to have this baby out. It's not a very comfortable time in most women, for most women. And so here what you have is every one of these babies is our babies. We want every one of them to be healthy. We want every baby to be at least 39 weeks. We know that. We know from brain development that's really important. So maybe that really makes a difference in group. I don't want to be the one that's going to have my baby at 36 weeks or 35 weeks or early. Or I think about another comment that came out of, I believe it was Memphis, where the women were really down in the dumps, 36 weeks again, I think, 36, 37. And the midwife just couldn't seem to get them pulled out of that. And so she said, you know what, women, you know, we're in Memphis. In Memphis, we sing the blues. So she pulled out a paper with a song on it, and she passed it around, and she said, okay, every time we get to here, you go da-da, da-da. Okay, so then she would say something, and the women would go da-da, da-da. Well, it didn't take any time at all before this whole group was totally energized and ready to go home and spend another week or two being pregnant. It was really, really astounding. Or the woman who had a very early fetal loss and decided that during the time of the group, she knit baby booties for every other woman in the group and came back at the ninth session and went around and wished each one of them safe passage for their baby. So the kind of community that really happens with that. Well, there are a bunch of challenges. You know, first of all, it's a total paradigm shift. Even though on the surface it might make sense, moving from individual to group care is huge. So imagining the change, stepping outside of the box, getting a steering committee put together to look at all of the system pieces that need to be changed, and really trusting that this process is going to work. It's system change first. You know, why do a lot of good programs just sort of don't last very long? Because the system never got changed to support it. And then sustaining the change, getting to the place where you say, all right, this is how we do care here. And, oh, we need some policy change, by the way. Investing in prevention. And how about supporting evidence-based practice? All of this needs to happen. So they were just another group of friends. Is it worth it? Is it worth the effort to make this change? Well, clearly, I think so. Thanks. So we have a couple minutes for questions. Any questions? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you.
I actually have two questions.
So recruitment's a big issue, and we just have 2 minutes or maybe a little less at the moment. The very best way is to say, this is how we do care here. Is there any reason why it won't work for you? It's hard to imagine. Some of you may be still thinking, I wonder how this really works. So it's hard to imagine. So that's certainly one, the personal invite. So often providers will say, I think this would be great for you. Word on the street. So as I just heard from one of our centers the other day, the women are out there talking to other women in the community saying, you've got to go there. This is just the very best thing.
Second question, and you said when you did the study there was a 41% increase in preterm births of African American women. Do you have any other information about that group? Like, was it poor or
All of the women were in public clinics in New Haven and at Grady in Atlanta. So most of them were on Medicaid.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right, so men. Well, men are really important to women, and I always encouraged the partners to come to the group. There are some places in the country where men are not all that welcome. And so one of the model is defined by 13 essential elements, and one of them is family support people could be there or not. So I think it really depends on, a lot of groups have just women come to the first session and then they talk about it. Now, would you like to have men come or not? And sometimes they come to some sessions. So I think it's really variable, but having a partner or a support person, and could be even a grandmother or a sister, but most have some sort of welcoming for that.